a large offering on the catch up today. What are we getting up to?
Oh, there's plenty there. I tell you what, there's some Prince Harry chat that turned into a red hair exploration. That was interesting.
Also, you guys had this wonderful idea for Channel 10, which we explored greater than Benny Elias's suggestion.
Yeah, the NRL to buy Channel 10 and turn it into 10RL.
Really interesting.
Hey,
interesting.
What about that? Well, we were talking late in the day about buying a murdered person's house.
Oof. Yeah, a house where someone had died. We spoke to both people who had sold and people who had bought houses where someone had passed away. Plenty in the catch up.
You hear a bullet. Don't ring the cops. Put a deposit down.
Get on LJ Hooker, yeah.
For on-time delivery of scissor lifts, booms and elevated work platforms, Height for Hire It, 1-800-HEIGHT.
Look, guys, there's been some pretty serious stuff going on in and around Triple M. And as we all know, workplace culture is a huge thing these days. We've seen what's happened at Fox News in America. We're seeing what's happening at the AOC at the moment. And there is trouble brewing here at Triple M. So it's now we go to our head of corporate affairs.
Morals.
Barrister by the name of Mick Molloy. Good morning.
Well, someone who's been called up to HR at least a dozen times, I think.
It's called the Mick Molloy Suite here at Triple M.
That's
right. Go to the Molloy Suite. Can't do that.
I know people in high places, and a certain email has come across my desk from one of my moles within the organisation.
So this is for...
You know who you are.
This is from the higher-ups that normally ask people on air.
I'll name him. This is from Mike Fitzpatrick. Fitzy.
Oh, the big boss.
Head of Content, Triple M Network National. Subject, penises.
Is that the subject?
He didn't put that in the subject, did he?
Look. There it is.
Oh, my God.
No emoji or smiley face.
Don't open the attachments.
Okay.
Team, I cannot believe I'm sending this email. In the last 24 hours, I've listened to 3 separate stations and I've heard our talent talking about... I'm pretty confident with the wealth of talent we have in the network, we can deliver better content than talk. Please ensure your teams and talents know they are to stop talking about their...
Let's aim
Let's aim a bit higher. Or larger in your case, Marto. He's done it again.
Zing.
Now, I'd like you all...
Robin's all... excuse from this.
Oh, really?
Hey, Robin, you make a good point. Say what you just said again.
I said we didn't do it until we brought up this email. In fact, I don't think we've ever spoken about those things.
We'll do a good fart joke occasionally, but no...
Did I ever do my segment on your show, Talk?
Haven't done it.
Touch my...
Is that your character? Yeah. You've got a character call.
Ding my things cock and do. I mean, that was a segment that only ran...
What about Mick's Royal segment, Prince Albert?
I do not get this.
I know, it's not funny.
I don't get it.
Not funny at all.
I don't get why all of you are cacking yourselves.
But Robin, as you say, Mick, if it wasn't us in Brisbane, and it wasn't you and Ed...
Sydney.
It was, of course,
Sydney,
Maddie
Triple
Johns.
Maddie Johns.
Mark Dyer, Gus Wallen.
Okay, the elephant in the room is, what did they do?
I don't think it's an elephant in the room.
No. Do you know what? We're all about to lose our jobs.
Yes, we are, aren't we?
Ridiculous.
Robin's just joined Triple M and she's going to be barged out the door thanks to you.
She hasn't even got one and she's in trouble about
them. Yeah, man. Maybe that's why I don't get it.
You won't bat an eyelid to this stuff in about 3 months. You'll be oblivious to it.
Oh, okay.
Well, you've read the email. You know.
Stop.
You've
talking.
Been warned.
Yep, we won't.
Guys, I just want you all to grow up. Yeah. Okay, if everyone just grows up, plays right.
Exactly.
What could go wrong?
Robin?
You're better than that, Robin. You're better than that, Robin.
You're running a loose ship here, Robin. This reflects poorly on you, Robin.
Robin, why'd you drag us down this slide, darling?
It's all my fault.
Come over here and drag this network down. Unbelievable. I can't believe
what
you've done.
We've got standards over here. Thank you, Mick Molloy.
Thank you.
You know we're going to have to change the pressure test category later, too. It was 10 different in 15 seconds. So.
Do you each have a favourite of Mick's different terminology?
Yeah, what a...
That was great.
Time to play. What a...
See you, Mick.
Okay. Bye, Mick. Okay, if I say the name Roxy Jasenko, if you read the Daily Mail and any of the online kind of gossipy stuff, you'll know who she is. But I'm just wondering if you boys do.
Hold on. Yeah, I'll close my eyes. PR
yes.
girl, public relations yeah. girl from Sydney, sort of hangs around A-listers.
Yeah, she was in Celebrity Apprentice and she won it all. No, she didn't win it, but she came quite close.
She's painful. She's unbelievably painful. And everything that she puts out into the world is a net loss. So when Roxy does something, every time, it's a minus for the world.
Okay, well, she has a PR company called Sweaty Betty, but the thing...
Sweaty Betty.
Yeah, the thing that has put her in the headlines in the last couple of months is that her husband, a guy by the name of Oliver Curtis, has been jailed for insider trading. Yeah. Now, he has been away for a number of months, and he's due to be out in 8 weeks. And in that time, they have two small children. In fact, her daughter has a massive Instagram account, and it's anyway.
How old's
the
daughter?
Terrifying. Five.
All right,
and a son.
They're little.
They're little.
I refer to you to my first statement.
Yeah, no, I've got to agree with you on that one. Anyway, she in the first couple of weeks that he was in jail, she went diligently out to visit him, and I think he's in rural New South Wales in a low security prison.
Yeah, white collar crime.
But in the last couple of weeks, and last weekend, in fact, she was seen kissing her ex-boyfriend, a guy by the name of Nabil Ghazal.
Kissing her ex-boyfriend?
Yeah, kissing her ex, and a wedding ring had come off her finger, and she was at a party, and a lot of people got shots of it. And then, you know, so my question to you is
PR,
this.
She meant to do that then.
Well, you would think there is some sort of orchestration going on. But here is my question. Your partner's in jail. Mm. How long do you wait for him?
What did she do?
Well, what does he do? What did he do, or what does she do?
Well, you said my partner. I'm just wondering what she's in trouble for. How long do you wait?
Yeah. Ooh, and does it matter if they did? Well, it doesn't matter what they did.
Well, geez, there's the other one. You know, Cocaine Cassie, the girl from Adelaide, the personal trainer who's over in Colombia. Yeah. She's got a fiance. They were going to get married.
Okay, how long do you wait? And do you wait? Like, if someone breaks the law enough to be sent to jail for any period of time.
Like Ed was going out with Chappelle for a couple of months before she went in.
Look promising too.
And the problem is at Corobican, there's just so many hot studs around. You can't hope to compete.
Wait, tell me, what would you do if Kath, God. I don't know. No, Kath's too lovely. She would never do a crime. Well, you asked me, what did she do? So I was trying to think.
I don't know what she did wrong. Nothing. Murder, I wouldn't hang around there because it's too
at
long.
At all.
2 years?
Two years. That's an interesting Ed.
I don't know.
I think you've got to, if you're married and the crime wasn't against you or your family, so this is it's a third party crime of some sort, aren't you,
I've got
you
needs,
have to
Ed.
Wait the whole time? Or do you? I've got needs.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's a very...
I'm a hot-blooded woman. I can't keep my legs crossed forever. I've got to move on.
Look, I understand that, Roxy, but...
But 2 years is max for you, Marta. I mean, I'm sure that there are people listening. Please, you can be completely anonymous if this has been a situation that you have faced. Because the things that I didn't think of when I was thinking about this story is it does matter what someone did, doesn't it?
Ed's nailed it. If they hurt you, if the crime was against you, no, you're Gonski. But if it was an accident or a white wallet trying to make money for the family.
What about if it was something to do with drugs, like that you were trafficking ice or like...
What if you didn't know? What if you didn't? Oh, gosh. Yeah, I think but there are obviously, wasn't there a model? There was a model, a famous model, young model who waited for her boyfriend and then they got married as soon as they came out.
Samantha Harris.
Look at you go, Brenda.
How long did she wait?
She didn't tell, 2 years. She didn't tell anyone that she'd actually married him before he went inside. I mean, I wasn't surprised that he wanted to get married before he went inside.
What did he do?
I can't remember. Killed someone. No, I can tell you. I remember this. In a road accident. So it wasn't intentional, but there was negligent driving involved, and he went in for 2 years.
Do you wait? And if so, how long do you wait?
What about the Cocaine Cassie over in Colombia?
I don't know if we're allowed to call her that yet, mate.
Yeah, no.
Oh, I think it might be...
Allegedly Cocaine Cassie.
Yeah. She gets off that. It's a miracle. We won't be hearing her for a while.
Steve of Drewvale, have you got a real-life example of this?
Well, look, it hasn't happened to me, but... my opinion on the whole subject is, specifically with old cocaine chick over in Colombia.
Allegedly.
I don't think.
Yeah, allegedly, yes. Yeah.
Headphones chick. Headphones chick.
Headphones chick, that's it. Headphones importer.
Now, Now, they're saying if she takes the early plea, she's going to get 2 years, right?
Yeah.
Now, I read somewhere else that apparently she was supposed to have, like, 18 bridesmaids.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not a betting man, but I reckon our mate will have hooked up with one of them bridesmaids within the 2 years. I'm just throwing it out there.
No, Steve, it's good, mate. It's good. I like it. I like your theory, because you're right. There's a lot of there's a lot of spare bridesmaids, a lot of shoulders to cry on there.
Oh,
now, we're big people coming in.
I know, but then they're disappearing. Please, you can be whoever you like.
It's tough to talk about.
I know, but it would be so interesting, and it does mean that people actually do have real life experience. I just,
three people sort of waiting with our producers on and off the line under the name Anonymous.
Anyone been to a prison visiting area in this studio?
Yes, I have.
Are you allowed it? Like, what do they do? Is there any passion going on? No, but when you go on, not with
the guard. No. There's a glass and telephone. Phones, like how you see it in the movies, is pretty much how it is. That's in the more serious jails. If you're on a low crime, it's not so much. But anyway, hello, Anonymous of Logan.
Right.
Yeah, how you going? I actually had a mate. He was, brought down earth bloke, do anything for you. It's going back a few years, but like he had a girlfriend and she got raped and bashed, and he got hold of the bloke and basically didn't mean to, but He did time for it, and when he got out, she waited, and they've been married now for quite a few times, happily ever after. But
wow,
they were high school sweethearts and everything. So
did she visit him in jail all the time?
I'm not 100% sure. I think she did, but all I know now is that they've been together, they're still together, you do things for people that you love, and I'm the same. Someone hurts my family, I'll take law in my own hand because the law won't do nothing. So
there you go. That's another interesting point, though.
Yeah, very interesting point, Anonymous. Thanks for the call. You're right. A crime of essentially
passion.
Payback and revenge. And he did his time and she waited. Thank you, Anonymous. Appreciate that.
Hello, Gary of Windaroo. Now, you do have personal experience. What happened?
Yeah, years ago, back in the 90s, both myself and my wife ended up in a bit of chaos with just bad judgments and drugs and all of that kind of stuff.
Bad decision-making, yep.
Early 20s and that kind of stuff. And both of us ended up in prison. My stint wasn't too long, but hers ended up being 9 years for manslaughter at the age of 18. So it was one of my best mate's sisters. So I eventually started going visiting her in prison and doing the right thing by her because she was so young and could totally relate to where she was at. And now we've been married for close to 11 years, own our second house, have two beautiful kids. Wow. So, you can turn your life around. We're proof of it, and we're really proud of where we are. So never judge someone who's been to prison because it can happen to anyone. Everyone's been young, dumb, so that's all I say. That's why I rang.
I'm so proud of you.
Appreciate that, Gary.
Well done, Gary. Gary, what does she feel about her younger time? Like, how does she address that? Because does she ever tell people?
Well, it molds you as a human, really. You can always look back in hindsight and think, oh, should I have done that? Shouldn't I have done that? But things happen for a reason for us. We had our kids when we're at the exact right time in our lives to be able to handle them. So we look at it like it was a blessing in disguise.
Gary, how old are your kids? Do you mind me asking?
My kids are 2 and 5.
And do they know anything about they're quite young, aren't they?
Will you tell them?
What went
on. I will. I'll be honest with them when they're old enough. Yeah.
Yeah, leave it.
I don't want to be dishonest to my kids. I think that's the reason why I want to be honest with them about it. But I won't go into full detail about what it was,
That's fine.
No, that's all. Hey, Gary, thanks for your call, mate. That's an incredible story. Thanks for telling it to us.
What a bloke.
Everyone deserves a second chance.
What a great attitude he's got.
Marto, Ed and Robin, the new Triple M.
Oh, my goodness. There's a spot of genius here. This story has not been going around anywhere else, I don't think. But Benny Elias. Who's he, Robin?
I know Benny Elias. He was with the Balmain Tigers, even the West Tigers.
Right. Former rugby league star, Backdoor Benny. Wealthy Sydney businessman. That's the adjective used to describe him these days. Made a lot of money out of Optus franchises.
Oh, did he?
And a bit of property development. All right, so he's got plenty of dough, and he's come up with a super idea. You know how Channel 10 revealed their they'd lost $230 million, you know, and they've got to restructure and all the rest of it?
Your show's on Channel 10. And it starts this weekend, hopefully.
But listen to this idea. Now, this is the most important thing. Benny Elias has done his analysis. He's realised that Channel 10 now is worth $100 million. To get a majority investment in there, to be the majority stakeholder in Channel 10, cost you $51 million. He is saying that the NRL should buy Channel 10 and just turn it into 10RL. And to, you know, 10's in a bit of strife. This is a lifeline. It's a win-win. Sport's the backbone. You know, they got Big Bash. Yep. Benny's going, imagine if they had Big Bash, NRL, State of Origin, be a huge financial and programming winner.
Channel 9 will have a heart attack.
A very cheap opportunity to own your own thing. And, Channel 9 would have a heart attack. Imagine if the NRL turned around. Well, the end one, they'd probably still sell some rights to Fox Sports and they'd pick up money there. But then they just get all the NRL players to be sales reps.
Oh,
and things like all the project. You get rid of Peter Hellier and just get, who's the funny man of rugby league?
No, I think you just have Waleed and Trent Merrin.
Oh my God.
Fixing Syria together. Trent, what do you know about Syria?
Master Chef. We just have rugby league players. You don't need normal people. If you've got access to sport NRL stars, because you Channel 10RL.
Yeah. Well, what I would do with MasterChef is that I would, the other thing about cost cutting is you've got to merge things, Robin. Mm-hmm. So why not just merge the Bondi Vet and MasterChef and have Joel Monaghan in charge of both?
Oh my God.
No. Joel, we can't keep doing peanut butter recipes. What about that?
Because we're always going, these rugby league players, too much spare time on their hands. That's how they get in trouble. Now, they'd all be, because the way Channel 10 to make money would be to get the NRL people as sales reps, like every guy who's got a contract. Out you go and sell.
You're forgetting something really important.
What?
Who's going to replace Ed? On Have You Been Paying Attention?
Ed'd still be there, but Sam Pang would go down the front.
No, he's got to go. I mean, he's got to go anyway, but I think we're going to change the name of Have You Been Paying Attention to Have You Been Intimate with a Dog, hosted by Mitchell Pearce.
Great. Yeah, that's tremendous.
What about Bo Ryan as the Married Bachelor? What if we change...
You're on a roll, Ed.
Let's say David Clemmer's a sales rep for 10RL, Channel 10RL.
Sorry.
Oh, New South Wales Origin. Oh, he's the prop for the Kangaroos, but also Big Dumba.
What would you do with Gallen?
Gallen. Sack him, you know.
He can stay behind. Yeah. I'm saying David Clemmer would go
David
out
Clemmer, let's imagine he goes to a concrete company and goes, do you want to put some ads on? How would he?
I see what you mean. So rock in and then be kind of, hello, I'm David Clemmer. I understand you want to advertise on television from concrete company. Let me tell you a story. What I did was, one day a guy left his boots in the change room and I defecated inside them.
David, we're going to have to.
How many ads would you like?
David. Just do.
What about if Fafitas moved into Ramsey Street on Neighbours? What about if we change Channel 10's long-running and very popular soap opera that they run just before the news, The Bold and the Beautiful, Robin? What if we change that on the new Channel 10 NRL? It's called The Bold and the Bubbling.
Carney, back. Welcome with open arms back into the NRL.
I have to say that these statistics are actually quite frightening, and it does really... prove that we are the fattest nation on earth.
Stop saying that.
I'm sorry, but that is the statistics per capita. Uh-huh. It used to be America and now it's Australia. And when I'm going to read some of these figures out for you, it's come from the Health Tracker by the Australian Health Policy Collaboration. And basically they looked at all the Brisbane suburbs and they asked multiple questions. But this specific one was what percentage of your suburb is overweight and obese?
It's just an opinion piece. Why didn't they go to CCTV and go,
It's based on, anyway.
Doctors, except there's ways of finding
of
these things out.
Yeah. Okay,
let's start. You said to me that if I give you a suburb, you would tell me
obese
it was. And I'm going to go straight to my suburb, which is full of hills. There's the hill outside my joint. People can't even ride their bikes up. It's so steep. Paddington.
But it's full of cafes, though, too.
Trim and terrific.
Well, it is the ninth skinniest suburb in Brisbane, and it's sitting there with Milton and Red Hill, and 53% of your suburb are overweight and obese.
Hold on. They're not terrible? Skinniest.
I hate saying that because that means how many people does this represent who are just feeling miserable about themselves?
You know, some of these overweight stats aren't right if you're going on the BMI ones.
Which is what I'm sure it is.
Yeah, which is nonsense.
Well, yes, yeah, you got to watch BMI.
Anyway, come on, keep throwing me suburbs.
There you go, mine, Newmarket.
Newmarket.
Is that there or go Grange or something around there?
Okay, yes. You are 53.4, so you're 0.4% worse than Ed.
What about a place where McDonald's? I was going to say, well, what about the place where the munchies are a big problem? New Farm.
53.9.
How much do dreadlocks weigh?
Yeah,
do they, a lot.
Do you want to go the worst?
So there's not much difference between them all. Is there any place, any suburb that's got like 70% of
Let me start with the best, which is St. Lucia. And if you asked about the rich versus poor thing. St. Lucia's the skinniest with 44%. Then it goes Brisbane
They're
City.
They're all students
Auckland,
who only eat two-minute noodles.
Yeah, true.
That's geez,
okay.
That's
so we're starting at 44.8% at St. Lucia, and the worst according to this the health tracker.
Just go to a couple of the rich suburbs, Ascot. How they go? They fat or thin?
Oh no, they're pretty good. They're 49.7.
I can't live forever.
Although you know, Kenmore, Brookfield, Moggle West are 57.4. They're about the halfway mark.
Can I have a guess at the most overweight suburb?
Yeah. Do you want to have a guess at the suburb and the percentage?
Ooh. Okay. Because I believe, ever since they opened up, where is the what's it called? The no, don't be like that.
He'll get there.
The Costco.
North Lakes.
North Lakes. I'm going to say North Lakes. When you can buy a 48 kilo tub of gummy bears for $8, reckon it's going to affect waistline.
That's why you need the 60 pack of
Caboolture
toilet paper.
Caboolture is about five off the bottom at 71%.
Good Lord.
But the winning suburb where, according
it's
to this
really
study
winning.
By the Australian Health Policy Collaboration, so this isn't us just being mean, with 76.9% of the population considered overweight or obese is Redbank Plains.
They've done it.
I've played Redbank.
They're having a good time at Redbank Plains. They must be having they got delicious food.
Yeah.
Mucking around.
Well,
do you know
Redbank Plains Parza. Yeah, food court there is all right, but
yeah, the top 10 are Bethania, Caboolture, Springfield, Beenleigh, Dakabin, Bundamba, Churchill, Brassall, Browns Plains and Redbank Plains. You take out the list.
Now, they might start calling in, but their fingers might be a bit wide to hit the number.
Oh, stop it.
That's okay.
Hey, what's the fittest suburb? Did you say St. Lucia?
St. Lucia, Brisbane City, but, you know, as you say.
So if they move to St. Lucia, they're just they're not fat
just
anymore.
Melts off you.
Just hanging around.
That's awful.
You brought it up.
That's awful.
Have you ever heard, you know, I thought it'd be Samford. Samford and Brookfield are big triathlon communities. I thought it might be them. Why wouldn't they be in there? Yeah,
they're
Samford
number
do?
Two.
Huh.
As the fittest.
Also, wife swapping. That's what triathlons are really all about.
That's what it's about.
That's what it's
we
really all
know.
About.
That's why people get into triathlons.
Start a conversation about health and we end up with wife swapping.
It's the unofficial fourth leg of the triathlon.
That's right.
Okay, there's a great house auction coming up on May 16, which is set to go for a record low price. One house, it's in the Gap. Okay?
Good spot.
But there's a catch.
The Gap. Why for a low price? Things are all right out there.
Mm-hmm. Because the house is where, now you will remember this news story, a daughter allegedly murdered her mother with a floorboard.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that one?
Yep. That was only last year.
Yeah. The house is up for sale and it's going to auction. And it's been described, listen to this, peaceful, private, secure, multi-level family home. Situated in a peaceful cul-de-sac.
Would you?
Surrounded by quality homes.
Would you do it?
Yeah. Yeah, I would. What? Buy a house where someone has died?
Buy a house where someone's been murdered.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you don't know, particularly like where you live, Ed, like in Paddington, where houses are so old, you would have absolutely no idea what had happened in those workers' cottages.
Also, near my mother-in-law and father-in-law's house, there was a house that went up for sale that someone had been murdered in a couple of years ago, and that got like $250,000 under what other houses in that area went for. So it clearly affected some people's
Have you
buying.
Got to declare if you're selling it, if you're the real estate agent, have you got to go, well, of course.
I can answer that question because from personal experience.
Well, you have.
Yes, I have.
Because in your house.
Yes, absolutely. You have to. You have to because, well, in my situation, it became down to technicalities because we could say.
Why do you have to?
Well, you do because if they find out afterwards, it can be something that can fall over the sale. But in my particular situation,
Now I understand pest, you know, pest and finance. You can have those, but you can't have just because someone died in the house.
Well,
it's not white ants.
Yeah. Well, in my particular situation, a competitive real estate agent was using it as a pitch to try and get people away from the sale of my house go and buy someone else's. Oh, so it was actually, I guess common knowledge in the area. But
did you get less money for your house?
Yeah. I reckon between 50 and 80 grand less.
Wow.
I mean, you know, mine was quite known at the time.
And you know what? So. If you live in the community, you know when people have died or been murdered or whatever. But if you've just come from Perth and, you know, you're a little family and you go, wow, this one's a good price. Do people tell you? No.
Would you be okay with that?
Because they don't know you.
What about the Singh house? Remember Max Seeker?
Oh, Castledine. Three kids got killed.
Yeah, in the spa. That house went up for sale.
Did
it? Yeah, it did. It did not so long ago.
Everyone around that area would know that house as the Singh house.
Well, you'd only have to Google it, and everyone in the world would know that that's what it was.
Would you? I'd like to be curious to know if people would do it or have done it, and or if just I don't know if my wife would let me. I think that Tiff would feel that there was bad vibe or something.
Kath would never do it because she grew up in a house in Rocky, which was an old house. There was a ghost of her grandmother there.
Ooh.
So she believes in ghosts. So if she knew someone had died, she wouldn't move into a place.
Even though she'd come from a house where there was a ghost?
Yeah, well, that was a friendly ghost. I don't think she'd like to. I don't know. Ghosts, a lot of people believe in ghosts.
No, I do. I'm with her.
I do?
Yeah. I know you don't, Ben.
No, well, neither do I.
Okay.
You did.
One triple three.
It's my religion.
Right. I'm not surprised.
No. Would you buy a house that someone had died in? And if so, is it just, if it's cheaper, if it's in a good area, if there's a good school near it, then what's the problem?
Mm.
Charmaine from Geebung. Charmaine, have you got personal experience with this?
I do, yes. We bought a house about 6 years ago in Geebung. The person wasn't murdered. He actually died of pneumonia in the house. And I think it was about a week before someone actually realised that he was dead and emergency services had to break down the door and get him out. So he had no family.
Okay, so Charmaine, how did you know that that had taken place in that house? Did the agent tell you or did you have to Google it?
The agent told us.
Oh, wow. That's up front. Any cheaper?
Yeah.
It was about $150,000 less than what other houses were going in the area.
That is a huge discount.
That's a massive
But that's not even bad. He dies of pneumonia. You take that chair or bed away and off you go.
Yeah, it was great. And we love our house. We have one neighbour. We've got a massive park behind us, a creek to the other side of us. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Geebung's a great part of the world.
Look at
Lovely.
You.
Very happy for you, Charmaine. Would you, Charmaine. Hey, Charmaine, if he'd been murdered, would you have bought it?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, yeah. Okay. There you go. Okay. Thank you, Charmaine.
It's good
Appreciate
creek,
that.
Obviously.
Samantha of Caboolture, what do you think about buying a house where someone's died?
I actually sold a house where someone had died.
Ooh, real estate agent.
This? Yeah. Oh, you're
No. It was my house.
Oh.
Okay.
And my husband had died in it. And the gentleman that bought it from us paid what I wanted for it. And then he asked me what my husband's favourite tree was so he could plant a memorial garden in the yard.
Oh, my God.
So did...
Yeah, he was awesome.
Were you upfront about all of that?
Yeah, we told him straight up, like, why I was selling. And it didn't worry him at all.
Can I ask you, did you have a lot of people not want to because they knew... Or did you not tell until someone had actually signed on the dotted line?
No, we told everyone, and he was the third guy that walked through and he wanted it.
Why did you tell them? Why did you think there was a need to?
I don't know. It was just
I got advice.
It happened.
You got advice.
Yeah, because in case it came up and then that was a reason for them not to go through with the contract.
They can't pull out, surely. Darren from Wacol. Hi, mate.
How you going?
Yeah, what's the situation?
Well, my wife used to work for a real estate that had to sell a house that was implicated in a murder.
Ooh.
How'd that go?
It took a long time to sell the house because there was a lot of caveats associated with the police being having to come back and investigate at any point in time into the future.
Oh, so they could come back and like dig up a yard or go back under the boards or anything if they needed to, Darren.
Oh, they did, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, man, I still want to know which house, but I don't think you're allowed to tell us, so don't.
And Darren, what was the end result? Was it? Did it end up? Did it take a long time to sell? Did it go for a lot cheaper? What happened?
Yeah, it took a long time to sell, and it ended up actually being a rental. So,
Do you have to tell people who rent there? Have you got to tell them what happened?
Well, I think most people in the area knew it was a pretty high profile case back in the day.
Oh, okay, that was a while ago.
So, yeah.
Okay, thanks, Dan. So actually, thinking about it, the Bate and Clay House, which is in Brookfield across the road from the Overland Estate School, that's now part of the childcare centre. And I wonder if it...
Did they gobble it up?
I wonder if it was because it couldn't be rented again. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway.
Thank you. A lot of calls coming through on this. We might have to do this again because remember there was that one in Sydney as well. Remember Sydney, how bad Sydney is? And there was an inner city, I think it was in Surrey Hills or somewhere very expensive.
Oh, it could be.
Remember
the
there was that old lady that had been dead for like a few years?
Oh, yeah. No one checked on her.
Remember
Did
that?
That house quit cheap, didn't it?
Mate, they were kicking the door down to try and buy that joint.
I wonder if any members of the homicide squad go around and pick up a few cheapies.
I don't think that's the case.
That is complete speculation.
I was just wondering.
Too far.
Well, wouldn't you?
All right, Robin. Yep. You may not be, but I'm just going to turn you into our royal expert. Because
probably got more chance than you two.
Yeah, I've got a couple of questions here that have been really starting to bug me about the royal family.
Mm-hmm.
So The Crown, that thing on Netflix.
Which Tiff is watching, your wife Tiff.
She's seen it. And now my mother-in-law, Madame, who's a lovely woman, she's watching it. She thinks it's a documentary, right? She thinks...
Is it any good?
It's supposed to be excellent. I know a lot of people...
Ask Ed, he understands TV.
People have really enjoyed it. I find it quite... I mean, what do I care? They went to Africa in the 50s. Wow. I mean, what a moment for all of us.
Mm-hmm. It's bigger than the royals come here. You know, Prince Harry's coming here in the next few weeks.
That's my point.
For the Invictus Games.
Yeah, he was here 2 years ago. He loves Australia. Mm.
Listen, Prince Harry is Prince Philip is the original crazy royal, and Prince Harry is carrying that tradition on. He's fun. You know, everybody likes him. Mm. He's got a great sense of humour. He's personable. He's all those things, Robert.
Mm. Yes.
But the reason I bring this up is because one of Tiff's friends has just had a baby. And this baby, or it's now sort of, 18 months old, so a little while ago, this baby has red hair.
Mm-hmm.
And no one in Tiff's friend's family has red hair.
Uh-oh.
They're looking around. They're looking for someone somewhere. They're looking.
What?
They can't find anyone that's got red hair, Robin.
Allegations? Now, have they started flying?
That struck me as odd. Is that odd? That struck me as odd.
I think that, and people with red hair, affectionately known as Rangers, may correct me on this one, but I think it's a rogue gene. And so, therefore, it can come up and fly away.
Recessive.
Thank you. Yes, Brenda, the keeper of really good useless information.
What's the problem?
But someone would have to have had that red hair at some point, wouldn't they?
You can't come out absolutely.
I mean, someone knows 133353. You can't have someone come out with red hair or crazy green eyes or something out of absolutely nowhere. Why not?
You can. You're maybe going back 3 or 4 generations or 5 or 6.
They just haven't gone deep enough.
That's way too far. You're not going to pick up.
No, it's true.
Thank you.
Lays dormant until you least expect it.
I was desperate for that. I wanted that. I didn't get it. I pay a lot of money to dye my hair red.
Hey, tell me. So is it causing trouble in their relationship?
It's not allegations, but it's just everyone comments on it. Everybody. They meet the kid, and I did the same thing. I met the kid, and I know the parent, and then I said to Tiff, hey, and before I finished my sentence, she said, they don't know where the red hair came from, like that. And then she sort of shook her head at me. And then I see that Prince Harry's coming to town.
Yeah.
He looks so much like that red
James Hewitt.
Mate, they've been down that track so many times, and they keep denying it.
How is that man not Prince Harry's father? He looks exactly Robin.
Don't you, okay, well, please. Don't you think they would have done a paternity? Actually, no, they wouldn't have done a paternity test.
Of course
test.
They would. It's the royal can't. Family. You're going to find out your father's your uncle. You can't do that in the royal family.
That's true.
Don't you think, Robin, it's so bizarre. And was it just me? I was like, this is crazy. How is this man not Prince Harry's father?
Okay, well, do you want to talk to someone with red-headed children?
Yes.
Jill.
Good morning.
You got red hair, Jill?
Look, I had a strawberry tinge in my hair when I was younger, but as an adult, I didn't have a strawberry tinge in my hair any longer.
Okay.
But I have produced two redheads, and their father is actually part Maori, so it's very unusual to get olive-skinned redheads with brown eyes. One's got brown eyes, one's got green eyes.
Lucky them.
Do you know your rugby, Jill? I remember Paul Tito. He was a red-headed Maori, played second row.
That's right. And also, I think you'll find Christian Cullen, he ended up playing for the New Zealand Maoris, and everyone's like, but this guy's
white.
So, yeah. Exactly.
So what are you saying, Jill?
Okay, so to produce a redhead, you have to have a red gene on both sides of the family, and it can be anything up to three generations back.
There you go. And Princess Di always claimed that her grandfather had red hair.
Oh, did she? Jill, who do you reckon Prince Harry's father is then? That Major Hewitt? What was his name? Captain Hewitt?
Hey, look, I'm not getting into that because there's also a guy in Lismore that reckons that he's Charles' son. That's the royal family for you.
Yeah, that's the royal family.
That is horrific.
That is horrific, Jill. That is horrific.
Thank
you, Jill.
Do you
want to talk to Lisa of Runcorn? Hey,
yeah,
Lisa.
Go on.
Hi, how are you?
You're good, Lisa. What do you know about red hair?
We have a 13-year-old son who came out red, and we have no redheads in our family.
Did any inquiries take place, Lisa?
Yes, hubby did ask if it was the home ice cream man because the milkman doesn't quite come around anymore.
the home ice cream man with red hair.
Does he have red hair?
No, he doesn't.
Oh, thank God. Wasn't the name that rang your bell.
Oh, that's terrible that he doesn't trust you.
That's great. There you go.
Well, it's a fair question, I guess, even if you jovially ask it. But there you go. It's been proven, Ed Cavalli, that it's, you need two with the gene and da-da-da-da-da.
You need two with the gene and someone turning a blind eye.
That's right. Remember how last week I was telling you that I only do Facebook. That's my social media. And I don't do it very well. I need a lesson on how to do it anyway. Because remember last week I told you I kept on getting offered, second up on my screen, my feed or whatever you call it, was slippers for some reason. Mojave slippers. Anyone else getting these?
No.
That's been going for about 10 days. This week, for the last 5 or 6 days, I've been getting this warning about a new phone scam.
Have you?
And I asked you guys before, you've never heard of it. It's called the Can You Hear Me scam, and it gives this warning, really detailed. It's come from a lot of different people, so people are spreading it, trying to help everyone out, and I just thought, I haven't heard anyone in the media talking.
Okay, so how does it work?
All right. So what they're doing is these people are ringing you up, and they're saying they're from a utility, like a power company or your bank, and going, hi, it's so-and-so, which a lot of people will be sus straight away. And they go, oh, okay, yeah, righto. And they're going, can you hear me? That's what they say, and that's the name of the scam. Can you hear me? And they want you to say yes.
Right, yeah, I can. Yes, I can, yes, like that sort of thing.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Are you doing it?
Are you sure you can hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Okay. Yes.
All right. Then
now what happens?
They record
Well,
they get your voice signature, and they then use that to authorize financial transactions against your account. I know.
So they ring a company trying to get money out of them, and then they go through and they say,
and they can authorize fake charges. Yeah, I know. It sounds good, but really, I don't understand. Then I started to think deeper about it.
So the Federal Communications Commission, which is the American, the people
they've
who
made
look
a comment
these
about
things,
it. Yeah.
They're saying that it's, according to them, it's getting worse.
Yeah, it hit the US last year, hit the UK earlier this year, arrived in Australia, and they said police in Mackay have recent reports of scammers operating in Australia.
Police in Mackay?
Yeah, I know. And that's where it starts.
Wow.
That's where
it makes it so official.
You know that dodgy thing again?
Dodgy.
It's dodgy then. So then I've gone, hold on. Who uses yes? What do you use a yes for?
At what stage do you?
I thought this is nonsense. Like a little bit of mad panic. And I'm going, no,
So what have you done? Have you checked?
No, I've gone to this web urban myth debunking
site. Oh, the
Mythbusters. Classifies the scam as unproven because yet to identify any scenario in which a scammer could authorise charges in another person's name simply by possessing a voice recording of that person saying yes. It's nonsense.
So are we worried or not?
Yeah, but yeah, it says don't say yes just in case. If somebody says, can you hear me? Maybe.
Because the police in Mackay told me to.
Well, it's an absolute crock. And anyway, you haven't got it anyway. So it says to avoid being scammed, they give you a little thing. Don't answer calls from numbers you do not recognise. Oh, duh. Do you ever do that?
No.
Yeah. If you do answer or ask questions that seem to be fishing for a yes or no answer, do not respond or
mumble. Well, I always
mumble.
Answer when people ring my number, if I don't know them, I normally just answer with my PIN number. Yeah. just to throw them off the scent.
Be very careful because it's a scam and you can lose all your money. If you've done it, check all your financial records. But I think it's nonsense.
Well, we
want to know if it's happened to anybody. And Paul is from Oxley. G'day, Paul.
G'day, how you going?
Well, you know something about this?
Yes, I do. I've got a credit card with GE Money. And I, instead of getting paper statements that cost you money, I do my internet banking. So to go on and to see how much my payment is and when it's due, I use a username and a password. Now, I'd forgotten it, and I rang them up and to get it back online, and they said, in future, we'll do a voice recognition. Are you willing to do that? And I went, yes. And then later, down the track, I said, when do we do it? She said, you've already done it.
So, that was the yes. So, there you go. So, if I rang back Paul, not Paul, but with that yes, I could say, oh, hey, listen, I've forgotten my thing. And then you could do it again. And then I could use that your
voice. Well, they've already got my voice recognition there now.
And so have we.
Now it can't be. Good one.
So is most of Brisbane. Hi, it's Paul from Oxley here, GE Money. Can I get some cash?
Hey, thanks, Paul. That's good. There you go. That's helpful. Real, and also Andrew had to go, but Andrew from Petrie said he had that scam happen to him, I believe.
What?
That thing.
Goodness. Maybe it is real.
Oh.
Mythbusters, we need to tell them we found people.
Now, I had a missed call from Lithuania the other day. Do you reckon that was it?
Oh, no, that sounds legit,
yes.
Buddy.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I should answer next time?
I would.
And say yes repeatedly?
Nah. That would have been offering you a wife, I believe.
Okay, parent-teacher night. We've been having this discussion for the last couple of days in here because Marto and I seem to be juxtaposed about it. I really like parent-teacher night. I am a single mum of three teenage boys, and if you were to ask them how school's going, I usually get the same grunt from all three.
Hey, that's good.
So the only time that I can ever really get an understanding of what's going on, now I've got one in year 12, one in year 10, and one in grade 7, so one starting high school for the first time, and then one finishing high school the end of this year. So I kind of take the parent-teacher thing really seriously.
No, tell everyone what okay, a lot of people wouldn't realise how you got to do it these days.
It's speed dating parent-teacher style. So my school has it over two nights, Tuesday and Thursday night, and I decided you log on to their website and they actually help you. You get a list of your kids' teachers and then you actually map it out and the computer helps you to map it out. But in the end, what happened for me on Tuesday night was that I had 4.5 hours and 16 sessions.
Oh, my God.
So what?
So dumb. So you got three kids doing five or six subjects, and you had to go and see each one of those teachers for a short period of time.
So they set up a massive hall in the Great Hall, and they put a big clock on the back wall. They ring bells.
5 minutes?
Yeah, 8 minutes.
Oh, our school only did five.
And you
8 minutes,
you've
got to talk to a teacher who you don't even know. God.
Each teacher sits at a desk, like a sort of exam style, in rows, and there is a map at the front of the hall where it tells you where the specific teacher is. The bell rings. You go and see the teacher. The bell rings with 2 minutes to go, so you know your time's nearly up. It is seriously speed dating parent-teacher. And I learnt heaps. It was awesome.
Do you listen or do you talk?
Depends on the teacher and the situation.
All right, I had one. I had to do this. We missed out a few times because they didn't have enough appointments. So I just went, well, if they don't want to see us, I couldn't give a stuff either. But I had one teacher say, oh, I don't even know which one your son is.
Oh, that's harsh.
Well, good teaching. Well
that's
done.
That's great.
But they don't. They don't give a stuff.
No, they do. You they had a form.
How many classes have they got? Like they've got those 30 boys or kids in front of them, and then they've got like, haven't they got 6 or 8 of those? They can churn through heaps. How do they remember all their kids?
They had a file with my son's name, and they pulled out the file. Yeah. They had a computer screen. I thought it was absolutely
excellent. What'd you get out of it?
I learned some stuff about my Year 12 guy in terms of just trying to get him across the line with maths. I'll say it out loud because I was really crap at it too.
But it's too late now.
No, it's not.
Halfway through grade 12.
Yeah. Just got to get past. Like, I'm with him. Like, I hated maths. I mean, he doesn't hate it. And he's actually not too bad. I'm trying to save myself here. But
yeah.
I think that parent-teacher nights are awesome. I think they're really productive. I think that it's a great way to do it. It took one night
of
my life.
Your school might be exceptional. I just remember going to ours and the teachers had just taught all day. Right? So they got in there at 8, they taught until 3, and then all of a sudden, do they really want to talk to parents for the next 4 hours every 5 minutes? So that there's 5, 12, they've got to talk to 40 different parents.
It started at 3:15 and ended at 8:30.
See, all the teachers have got to do that. Yeah. I saw how tired you were when you got in here too. You'd had enough.
I know, but I still think
what about
that
a little
they're
piece
really
of paper?
Valuable, Ed.
Oh, you like eyeballing people, don't you?
I
like
do.
I'd like to know what people think. Are they parent-teacher nights? Are they a massive waste of time or are they an invaluable resource
for parents? You can ring anonymously and just go, how much you hate parents.
Oh,
you're so annoying, you parents.
Okay.
Just keep it's none of your business.
Your child? You want to know about
none
your child?
None of your business.
Carl, Bean Lee, what do you reckon about parent-teacher? Do you think they're a good idea?
Well, actually, I don't think they are because my partner is a high school teacher and she basically dreads it because she has to stay at work from 8 in the morning till about 8 at night and then not able to actually tell her parents the truth is probably the main thing.
That's
it's a very generic sort of touchy-feely type exercise.
Oh, can't you imagine? Robin Bailey pulls up next year. What teacher is going to be really harsh?
Well, I hope they are. Carl, is your wife ever... like, harsh? Is she ever... I mean, they must have a whole list of words they rely on, like your child lacks concentration, which actually probably equates to he's an absolute pain in the butt.
Well, basically, if your child gets satisfactory on the school report, that's about as bad as it gets these days.
Oh, wow. Oh,
right. I wish I got satisfactory.
That's reality. Yeah. Well told, Carl.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, right. Appreciate that. There we go.
We're learning something. Hey, Lachlan, what do you reckon?
Good morning, everybody. We have at our school student-led conferences. We don't call them parent-teacher.
So you're a teacher, and how does a student-led conference work?
Well, the onus is on the student, the child who will accompany their parent to the interview to initiate the conversation. So a teacher will sort of open and say, how do you feel you're moving forward? What can we help you with? And the kid will talk, in most cases, we'll talk. Some kids don't have that confidence.
How do you go with 15-year-old boys? Do they open up?
Oh, mate, the 15-year-old boys are the best because you can see them sweating in front of their parents.
Right. Bit of truth
justification.
Then they'll have to sort of say, okay, yeah, I'm not doing the right thing sometimes, but this is what I'm good at. This is, this is where I feel I need some more work, or can you help me do this? And a bit of honesty, too, gets the kids to open up a little bit.
That's so true, Lachlan. One of my sons, who will remain nameless, he's my feisty boy, just as we were walking in, goes, look, I better tell you, just in case they tell you.
Few things before we get started today.
And the great irony of that was the teacher didn't tell me.
Yes.
Oh,
that's wonderful.
Then it's worth it. If nothing else, it forces kids to come clean, a confessional on the way into court.
So, Ed, will you do it with your child?
No, they'll be homeschooled.
They will not.
They're little Amish kiddies.
70% of people agree with you, Robin. Yes. It's helpful if it's done the right way. Marto, Ed and Robin, the new Triple M.
Roll up, everybody. Get on board. Marto's historical pub tour.
Going down this Saturday, 133353, if you'd like to be a part of it.
Oh, isn't it? It's the biggest ticket in town.
Yeah.
With no NRL games around this weekend, it's where you want to be in on Saturday arvo.
I love the fact that your phone keeps, texting with people going, hey, Marto.
I've had to put a couple...
you back in 1996?
No. There's a couple. Any of those blokes that are texting me, yes, you're in, okay? But we've got plenty of seats left. The big thing is, if you give us a yell now, 133353, give us a yell if you've got a nomination for an... So what it is, it's we're going for a tour... historical tour. It's real history buffs type stuff of the old pubs of Brisbane, the ones that are built before 1900.
Hang on, I want to lodge a protest.
Against?
Because We're having to have, it's people who want to come and nominate a pub, but we already know some of the pubs that are part of the historical tour.
Hmm.
What if I just want to come? What if I don't provide any knowledge because I seek to learn?
Yeah, that's okay.
Well, that's all right. So if I just want to come along because I'm mad for history and the occasional free beer. And you know what?
If we pull up at a pub and you go, I'm really loving the history of this pub, or whatever AFL game's on, you can't get back on the bus to go to the next pub, you can stay there. No one's a loser there.
Okay, so Monday you need to be back. You know that, don't you?
It's only going for a few hours on Saturday, arvo. That's all it is. That's all it is. And it'll be moments like this, like people go, oh, it'll be like a Bucks party. No, it won't be like a Bucks party because this is the sort of stuff when we hop off the bus at the historic pub, we go, this is old. Well, like the Story Bridge, we're going to stop there midway through the tour and listen to, well, we'll listen to vignettes like this, informing you and educating you.
The Story Bridge Hotel originally opened as the Kangaroo Point Hotel when Clive Palmer was a wee boy. They changed the name to the Story Bridge Hotel to coincide with the opening of the, you guessed it, Story Bridge in 1940. The World War II era bomb shelter at the back of the hotel became a live entertainment venue and became known as, appropriately, the Bomb Shelter Bar. In 1982, the Story Bridge Hotel spawned the annual Australia Day cockroach races, with all proceeds being donated to charity. But where do they find the jockeys for those cockroaches?
What about that?
Wow.
See? Okay, see, now I'm interested.
Because in the old day, you used to have to catch a ferry across before they built Story Bridge. That's what it was, Kangaroo Point.
Okay.
That's the sort of stuff.
Chat to people.
And then we'll all have a beer and get back on the bus and go to the Pineapple Hotel after that, I think.
Hey, Bob, Forest Lake, want to come?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, have you got an idea, any pub you like or you know the story of?
Yeah, the Queen's Arms, mate, in James Street.
Oh, I love the Queen's Arms. What year?
1887, mate.
Ooh.
Jesus, after we come back over the bridge
Some nice corners work there.
Isn't there?
Corners work. Your corners work, Bob.
So did you know that, Bob? Like, is this your local or you just like the pub?
Well, it used to be when I lived over that way, but, I've had some great times here. A couple of bucks parties.
Yeah.
Can't talk about those.
Do you remember when Artie Beetson used to run it for about 4 or 5 years? God, you used to get in there and he used to tell some of the funniest bloody stories of rugby league.
I used to stand on the bar there with bottles of champagne. Okay. I used to go on.
Well, listen, mate, that won't be happening Saturday, okay?
No.
If it happens, I'll turn a blind eye, but it won't be. Thanks, Bob. You're on board, mate. See you Saturday. Who's this?
Like Stuart. Stuart, how are you?
Yeah, good. Yourself?
Yeah.
Which pub?
Brecky Creek.
I know. We talked about this yesterday. What year is that opened? Because it's on the front there as you drive past. Is it 18 and what is it? 18 what?
Yeah, a bit before my time.
Yeah, well, I realise that. I'm not saying,
According to Google,
1889. I probably read it on the way in, but couldn't remember it on the way out.
Righto. Well, listen, all you're really ringing for is to come on the bus, aren't you?
Yeah, pretty much.
Righto. Well, enjoy it, mate, because you'll learn lots of things about Brisbane. It'll be tremendous. And lots of
I'll bring me notebook, Barna.
Yeah, please.
Give me notebook. Good on you guys. All right, there'll be more chances to get in, but that's exactly what we're talking about if you want to come to Marto's historical pub tour.
You know how we keep hearing about these robotic cars and driverless cars and everything?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've briefly read an article in the Wheels magazine that's saying this is maybe a little bit nonsense. Everyone just hold on to your horses because it ain't as close as we thought. Can we go straight to Wheels magazine? The editor, Alex Inwood. Morning, mate.
G'day, mate. What's this briefly reading? Come on, you got to pore over every word.
Oh, mate, I have, but I didn't want to seem too nerdy. Mate, now, I found this is amazing. Here's one of the words. In a world suddenly filled with cars that must adhere scrupulously to all traffic laws, will the aggro dickhead in a battered shitbox end up king? That sums it up. They can't. We can't mix the two around, driver and driverless cars, yeah?
Yeah, that's the general crux of it, mate, because for all of their positives, the fact that you might be able to turn around and read a book or chat to someone while you drive to work in an autonomous car, it's still a robot. It's still computers based on a bunch of systems. So it's going to be very, very cautious because as these autonomous cars start to roll out over the coming decades, car companies are very aware of the fact that as soon as one autonomous car has an accident, that could set the whole industry back by years. So.
Right.
By default, autonomous cars, although we don't really have autonomous cars yet, we have semi-autonomous cars, but by default, they're very cautious. So that means if someone in a shitbox does cut in front of you, the autonomous car is always going to give way.
Gotcha. Ah.
So they potentially could be dangerous if they don't know how to get out of a situation. Look at me talking like they're human.
Yeah, well, no, you're right, because that's what's happening here. We're giving what are machines, we're giving them human characteristics because they have to make human decisions. Do I turn left? Do I turn right? Or, you know, in a very morbid situation, do I spear the car off the road and put the occupants at risk, or do I plow into a pedestrian and potentially have a fatal accident there? So it's some pretty serious things that these cars need to make very fast decisions on.
Are you talking to Alex Inwood, the editor of Wheels magazine, about autonomous cars, Robin?
So hang on. So how in that moment of decision making, how does a car make the decision?
Well, that's it. That's what's being worked through at the moment. Some car companies have come out and said that the person in the car is always the first priority, but it's an issue that's sort of shrouded in murky ethics. But the reality is that these cars are still decades away. So what we have now is what I mentioned to you before. It's semi-autonomous systems, which are driver-assist systems, basically. So they're things like, they're based on radars, which can detect if you might be edging to the edge of your lane, and that'll actually nudge the steering wheel to pull your car back into the middle of the lane. And that technology is what we call stage 3 autonomy. Mm. Stage 5 autonomy is when the steering wheel will disappear, when you'll be able to swivel around and file your nails on the way to work.
How far away is that one, Alex? Where are we on that one?
Different companies say different timelines. So some companies are saying 2 to 3 years away, but I personally think that's a bit of hogwash. Other companies are saying, you know, when I put that to them, their faces go a little bit white and they get a little bit worried because their technology is still, you know, decades away. And I think it's decades, yeah.
And Alex, just before you go, because it would be very remiss of me, considering you are the editor of Wheels magazine, not to ask you, got to buy a teenager his first car, what would you recommend?
Toyota.
Oh, well, that's $1 million question. What's your budget?
Oh, I don't want it to be too expensive because he'll probably touch park his way through the first couple of years.
Ten grand?
Yeah, 10. Let's say 10.
Oh, 10. Okay. Well, that'd probably be a second-hand car, or if it's a new car, which is what we specialise in, you could probably get like a Holden Spark or a new Kia Picanto, something like that. Kia is good. No. It has a 7-year warranty. Whoa. And Korean cars have come a long way in the recent few years.
And if you're going second-hand, you've got to go the Corolla, don't you, Alex? The second-hand Corolla.
Oh, listen to Mr. Toyota here, Alex.
Listen, man, I'm trying to pay the bills over here,
mate,
Alex.
You cannot fault Toyota's reliability.
Are you in on the deal too, Alex?
There we go, Alex.
I will say here that Toyota in the land of cars, they're a bit like a bit of a white goods product, a bit of a soulless fridge on wheels. Oh, so.
How dare you, Alex. All right, Alex, editor of Wheels magazine. Part of this, I feel, is going to be edited, but we appreciate your time. Thanks, buddy.
No worries, guys. See ya.
For on-time delivery of scissor lifts, booms and elevated work platforms, Height for Hire It, 1-800-HEIGHT.